Blog Talk Radio.
Your host, the seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name.
Hallelujah.
Tuesday, Hart announced on Twitter that he will be performing for the first time in Egypt.
of ancient Egyptian civilization. Some users have started using hashtags calling for the show to be canceled and saying that Hart is not welcome in the country as Egyptian history is a red line. Cut off, Wendy Williams is still forbidden from accessing a $20 million fortune amid legal war and can't pay her own staffers. So Wendy Williams is still forbidden from accessing an estimated $20 million fortune amid her legal war with her bank and can't pay her own staffers. So this is, Wendy Williams is still forbidden from accessing an estimated $20 million fortune amid her legal war with her bank and can't pay her own staffers. So this is, have exclusively revealed to the U.S. Sun that Wendy's Wells Fargo bank accounts have remained frozen since January, despite an expectation that the funds would be released last month.
And kind of scary about this banning. It all came so hard and so fast that I don't know if they all just follow each other. I don't know if they're all influenced by each other. I don't know if there's someone above them all. I don't know. But when they go to cancel you, ladies and gentlemen, it comes hard and fast. You lose your Facebook, then your Instagram, then your Gmail, then your Discord, then your website hosting, then your domain name. Like, then your payment processor, then your bank. Then, like, it's just like in real time, you're watching your phone and it's just exploding. Boom, boom, boom. It's crazy.
I come from a long line of New York Jews. I grew up in a world of synagogue, Hebrew school, bar mitzvah. So it never occurred to me that I was passing. I wasn't pretending to be something I wasn't. I actually grew up believing I was white.
All right. Yahweh be with all. We are live at camp one. And we live at camp two, three, four, five, six. This is called day four of the Feast of Dedication. The Almighty Son came on December 25th for one reason, to wake up the children of Israel because they was in captivity by the Romans. And he came for 8 days because he made it plain on what he got to be about. Matter of fact, I'm going to pull one statement out. And we live at Camp 1. Remember, all other five locations is open. And we'll be coming on at 7:30 throughout the 8 days. Because it's a feast day. On the broadcast, it's 7:30. So we'll be on the airways for the complete 8 days at 7:30. And our elder will be a few minutes late, Mr. Tibbs, and he'll tell you all about the broadcast. But one thing about it, the Almighty Son came to do some things, and he made it plain, Brother Titus, before we kind of get something going on, he made it plain what he told his mama and what he told his father. He said something in Luke chapter 2. Guess what he said there, young man, Brother Titus? Well, we brought in none of the introductions right now, but we just want to throw a little jab out for a minute. And this is what we got to be about. Whether it's rain, sleet, or snow, we got to be about exactly what he said he about. And in Luke chapter 2, he made a profound statement, what he about. And we want to find out, what did he say that he was about? Let's see what he said that we can read in Luke chapter 2. Let's pick it up around about verse number 44. Stick with 44, let's read out a little bit. And then we're going to bring in those on the stage for the night's episode and inside the camp 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Live broadcast. This is the Feast of Dedication, take number 4. And remember, the elder, if you want you a copy of any broadcast, you go on YHWH Radio Live and you see the whole list. Any tape that you want, you've got opportunity to pick up 12 tapes or whatever subject matter you want, and then contact the ministry and then we'll tell you more about it, and then the elder will send you your copy of the 12 program. And one thing, keep one thing in your mind. This message must get out not just only on Pal Talk, Blog Talk, and Facebook. We need to be on every outlet that it is to receive this message. For those that have the skills and the understanding, do the research, get in contact with the ministry, and whatever you can do to show us the way to get on other broadcasts, because it's 2 hours banished to get this message out, because you want you a James 5:20 and a Matthew 25:21. And that says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful on a few things. Now I got something big for you. Not only that, in James 5:20, it tells you that if you're able to help somebody put them on the right track, whatever your shortcomings is of sin, he said he would ignore it if you do the right thing. So keep that in your mind. When you do the right thing in Almighty, your shortcomings, you know, the things you want to do that you think nobody see you but yourself, but Almighty see you, he said, I overlooked that too. As if you help somebody to understand one thing, it's a movement going on, and it's headed by voices of the true Israelites, the six anointed camps. You got it? Good. Now, this is what he told his parents, and this is how we got to operate. What he said, we can read in Luke chapter 2, what we said again, young man.
Verse 44.
Okay, pick up 44. Let's read a little bit and see what he said.
The book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 44 reads, but they supposed him to have been in the company within a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintance. Verse 45, when they found them not, they turned back again to Yada Judah, seeking him. Verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the physicians who were doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Verse 48, and when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, son, why has you thus dealt with us? Behold, your father and I have sought you sorrowing. Verse 49, and he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business?
So he told his mama, earthly mother, his earthly father, I got to be about the man's business that's up and away. Because I came through Mary. Mary is not my beginning. Mary, I came through Mary to do the same thing that mortal men do today. Live and die and catch sorrow. But you cannot say to me, well, you don't know how I feel to be a mortal man. Yes, I do. I came through Mary.
That's right.
I understood everything. I went through everything, but I had the power of Yahweh, and I could have used it whenever I got ready, but I didn't. So I know what you're going through, but you're going to be tried in the word, and you'll be tried on whatever you love the most. It's up to you to know that you're here to do this man's business. If you do this man's business, I told you in last night's lesson in 1 Corinthians 2:9, what I have prepared for you. Your eyes have never seen it. Your ears ain't never heard it. I don't care how many doors they got underground 60-foot bunkers that cost $1 million to get down there in the ground. That don't mean nothing what the Almighty got prepared for you. But on the way you're going to get to where you got to get to in the kingdom, you got to keep the law. You got to keep the law, the commandments, statutes. All right, we're going to bring our elder in now. He'll find the character of the broadcast. So we'll bring our elder in. He'll tell you all about the broadcast, and we'll get on the feast of dedication K4. But right now we stays in order, and our elder have came to the broadcast. So we meet our elder, Mr. Till. Yahweh be to that seed right.
And Yahweh bless you, Israel, the seed well. Hallelujah. Yahuwah.
Hallelujah. Yahuwah. This is the fourth day of the Feast of Dedication. And our job is to get this word out, to get up in James 5:20. So whatever the Almighty put on you to tell this national audience, and on the international side, there's over 700,000 plus. So they started packing in as we speak. So whatever you want to tell them, take your time, and we'll piggyback off of your lead. You on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel. And thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners. And that's always a good thing, because we always hear something that's going to change someone's life in the correct way toward Yahuwah. But you have some people out there that try to convince you that there's other ways to go, even other books to study, and that is one serious problem. So when you see that, you have to remember what it tells you in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. He says, every spirit that confess that not Yahuwah the Son has come in the flesh is not that of Yahuwah. This is the spirit of the anti-Yahuwah. Wherefore you have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world. And you can bet it's here already. Because even Yahuwah the Son had something to say about that in Matthew 24, verse number 4. 4 says, and Yahuwah the Son answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Yahuwah the Son, and shall deceive many. And this is happening today as we speak. So this is why we're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching, deception, loud bump the gums in Christianity. We welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast, Lawrence Ministry. We come to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahuwah's word. Learning how to connect the Bible books, your health, foods you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days, and actually much more. We do all this because this is information you came to seek, and you have to look no further. You've now found that in the Voices of the True Voice, Tribe of Yahuwah. We're open unto you on normal days from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., and those days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But on a high day, like during the Sabbath, we start at 7:30 to 10:30. And that's a fact. This is the time that you have to realize that when we start, on a feast day or a high day. Now, we also have a website address. To use this, just enter tribe.com on any search line. And after you click enter, look for the big lion. Under the lion, you'll see choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you possibly might see menu. But again, after clicking this, you'll still see choices. You'll choose the tithes and offerings in doing so. Remember what it tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7, and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, O you kindred of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves that you're forgiven. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give according to those Bible scriptures that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and mentioned again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, live. Also for building a school, which is very well needed, a banquet hall, station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Yahuwah. We even have a calendar. Check that calendar. It will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days, like now, that comes to us throughout the year. We even have a live program. This feature is available during the live broadcast time. Just enter Yahuwah Radio Live, and after clicking it, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. Click the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into our live online broadcast. We also have two email addresses that the listening members can use. The first is tribeyada@gmail.com. The other is yadaisrael@gmail.com. These are for writing your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject answer, or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with your online mind. The first being our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number, where you can call and leave a message on the scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But also in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. As I said before, you will hear a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. You can order what we have known by our members as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, we might ask, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. As you might imagine, he's pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answering many memos, as most of us have seen, even now, the Latter-day Saints. So please use that international line of 224-600-5579. And if that question is legit, you will receive a call back. As I said, unless you call trying to teach, you will hear a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. Also, for those of you who have maybe missed the beginning of our today's program, catch the entire show after 10:30 p.m. To do that, just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahuwah. Choose the program that you are late logging into, or actually, any particular day that you would like to listen. Also, during our normal broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting our story of Yahuwah on Pal Talk. We will be listed under ethnic group, African American. Just look for Voices of the True Israelites. You'll find that room will hold 50 or more participants. God's Word will also be working with Bible education. And online there to answer the on-the-table topics we discuss during our broadcast will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel, writing and shutdown. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And you'll find if our talk ends before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. I'll be with you all. Also, when we're given scriptures to speak by the seer, remember to be quick to hear, slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah will flow smoothly, remembering that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah. And during this time, so we can start listening to those words, we'll press our program back to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Say that again, that because the WCC just accidentally cut me off for a minute. So I see it trying to get my attention, but I'm not going to respond. But, you know, what can I say? So now, give me that Luke again, 12, verse 12 again there, young line.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12, verse 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say.
See, the righteous spirit will teach you in that very same hour. And then you'll be able to be prepared when any kind of folly jumps on. Because remember, Anybody stand before you, supposed to have the Bible open and go put a verse on the table. Now, the elder made a profound statement, but he don't got away from me. But I made a note of it, so maybe it'll come to me what he said. But we going to open up tape four as we retract the Almighty Son's steps. We're going to retract his steps the whole 8 days. And we on tape four. Because the reason why he came, Brother Titus, he came to, I got to pull a rabbit out of here. He came in the book of Psalms. See, this is what he came to do. Now, I don't know what I'm looking for in the book of Psalms there, young lions, but we want to show you what he came for that we can read. In the book of Psalms, he said, yeah, see, that sounds pretty good, but I'm going to see what you own, Seer. Would you tell me, you tell them what I really came to do. In the book of Psalms, although we got plenty of writing we got down, but he came for a specific reason, the book of Psalms. Can anybody help the old seer out? In 69 verse 4, thank you there, Brother Micaiah. Thank you. Psalm 69 verse 4. Now listen carefully. Now he could tell you, he sent this angel down there, down to tell David. He said, David, I'm going to come in the body. But the reason that I'm will be coming, this reason, in the book of Psalms 69, verse 4. What it says, but Titus Israel, see you right.
The book of Psalms, chapter 69, verse 4 reads, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that will destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restore that which I took not away.
He said, the reason I'm really coming because to restore what I took not away from you. I didn't take this away from you. I did not take the knowledge of who you are, your responsibility. The Father sent me in the 49th chapter, we're not going to read about Isaiah, to get you back on track again. He said, but I'm tell them, David, let's leave it in writing. The only one I'm going to pick it up is the voices of the true Israelites. I come to restore what I took not away. Because it was prophesied, Brother Titus, in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy 47 through 47 through 50. Something was prophesied. Matter of fact, read verse 46 just to make it sound good. He said, now, I'm coming to restore what I took not away from you. Let's see what is he talking about that we can read by backing up to Deuteronomy. It's called the Heavenly Five Books of Moses. In 28, 46 down to verse 50, let's see, can we analyze what he's talking about, restoring to you what he took not away. Come on.
We're going to the fifth book of the Heavenly Tablets, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 46 through 50. Deuteronomy chapter 28, 6 reads. And they should be upon you for a sign and for a wonder, and upon your seed forever. Verse 47.
He said, now that's going to be on your seed. So it's going to be a sign on the peoples that he's talking about. It's going to be on them for a sign and a wonder forever. So now, whoever this is, it's going to be on them for a sign forever. So what are we talking about? Let's see what he say going to be on this people that was prophesied by the Almighty to Moses to put it in writing. I'm going to put a sign on these people, on that people forever. So whatever generation you in, you be able to see them if you go back into the Bible and leave all the man-made manuscripts alone. And if let the Bible tell you the story, you better put it together. Now, what sign going to be on a people forever. Read a little bit more.
Verse 47. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47 reads, because you service not Yahweh, your Yahweh, with joyfulness and with gladness of mind for the abundance of all things. Verse 48. Therefore shall you serve your enemy, which Yahweh has sinned against you, and hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he hath destroyed you. Verse 49. And Yahweh shall bring a nation against you from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as an eagle flight, a nation whose tongue you should not understand.
He said that the tongue is going to be a Latin tongue that was from there it went to English.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't understand Latin tongue, and you didn't understand the English tongue. You have to learn both of them tongues. Now what them tongues you have? And you have the English tongue because English came from Latin. If you didn't have them tongues, and they're going to put a yoke of iron on your neck until they have destroyed you, and that's the reason why you'll be just like the young lady said early, we put on a message from Anthony on the recorder showing you that she has great respect for the other nations, especially the white man and the white woman, because nobody helped me more than they did. But here's the point. The reason you in condition is because of what they put you in. That's the part we got to bring. So we got to restore to you what you have lost and show you that Brother Micaiah in 11 verse 3 of Psalms, what it said that we can read.
Going over to the book of Psalms.
Yes.
You want to read chapter 11? We're going to pick it up at verse number 3. Going over to the book of Psalms. On chapter 11, verse number 3. Verse 3 reads, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
So if you don't have your foundation, you can mean all the world good. You will not know what to do unless you have your foundation. He says it's going to be something on you for a sign and a wonder, and it's going to be on a people forever. We ain't identified the people, and we ain't going to right now. We probably, you know what people be talking about. But now we're not worrying about that right now. I want to go and see what was said. So Elder made a profound statement earlier, but I want to go back, Brother Titus, and I want to see can I retract what I wrote down and maybe to come back what he said. In St. John 14:14, I want you to take it down to verse 20, and Brother Micaiah, pick up at 21 down to verse 26. I want to analyze something because I heard something, because if I made a note of it, that means I'm supposed to expound on it. So in St. John chapter 14, verse 14 to 20, and the other young line, Brother Micaiah is going to pick up at 21 to 26. Listen real good, and let's see if we can wrap back and analyze what we heard and tie it in. Come on.
The book of beloved John, 14, verse 14 to 20. John chapter 14, verse 14 reads, if you should ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. First five books, Torah instruction. Verse 16, and I will pray. And I will pray the Father, and he should give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see, cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him. But we know him, for he dwell with you, and shall be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 19. Verse 18.
Yeah, back up one verse again.
Verse 17. Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive.
Mm-hmm.
Because it sees him not,
uh-huh.
Neither knoweth him.
Uh-huh.
But we know him.
But we know him.
For he dwelleth with you. It should be in you.
So it's going to be in you. So what are you talking about? I mean, that sounds like some precepting now. So he's saying that, see, that's the key. The game changer is the precept. So now it's a precept in that. He said, what's going to be in you? That's the point. What's going to be in you? This is the game changer. What is going to be in you when you keeping the commandments of your mighty one? What is in you that we can read? So we got to find out what's going to be in you. Now, let's back up, young lions. We're going to see what will be in you. But if anybody got something to work with, we're going to find out what you're made of on case. The elder made a profound statement. So now we need to check into that for a minute because something got to be in you. But it's only going to be in you if what again in verse 14 and 15 again now, Brother Titus. Only way it's going to be in you, what did he say in St. John 14, verse 14 and 15? This is the only way it's going to be in you now. This is real good. What did he say?
Beloved John, chapter 14, verse 14 and 15. If you should ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, five books, four instructions.
Mm. So he let you know that whatever is got something relating to you keeping the law, the commandments, statutes of the first five books. Then he's saying this angel, this minister spirit, this Holy Ghost will be in you. So what do that supposed to mean? What will be in you? That's what we want to know. Because we want to make sure that whatever in you, it don't give you a Christian spin on it, jerk, a kick, and a breakout running and falling in the middle of, the front of the place. You fall down and then Mama Julie come running out there with a long sheet and throw it over you because you're up on there trembling. We want to find out what be in you according to the Bible. Let's see what Jeremiah got to say there, Titus. Let's see what Jeremiah got to say, what be in you, in the 15th chapter, verse number 16. Let's see, can we remember? The son told the angel, go down and tell David, I'm coming down to restore back to you what I've taken not away from you. So a lot of our problems is today because we need to be restored, but we never know what we had. We never know what we was about. That's why the young lady says I'm a nigga and my children better be a nigga and forever, you see. So now, that's the mindset she has. But it's something that we need to reach her to show you that you ain't always been in this beggar's position.
That's right.
Now I got to put a rabbit I had on that. And Jeremiah chapter 2. And let's see what he says. See one thing about it. We're going to get around to what we got to get around to, but we teach spirit-led in how he give it to you on the run. We're going to take care of all the business, but this is take four of the Feast of Dedication. But in the book of Jeremiah chapter 2, Jeremiah asked the Almighty a question. He asked him a question concerning you peoples that have a name then, but you don't have a name now. But this message was to, in Jeremiah chapter 2, now watch the difference. You can sit in church, a mosque, temples all day long, and you'll never hear these verses with such a profound name on the individual that it's coming to. Why not? That's what we come to restore back to you. And Jeremiah chapter 2, can you help those see out in 3. No. Pick it up at verse number 1. Let's look at 1 down to verse 6 there, Brother Micaiah. Let's see if we analyze 1 through 6. We're in Jeremiah chapter 2, 1 through 6. And then we're going to skip down to 11 down to verse 14. And you pick that part up, Brother Titus, 11 through 14. So I just want to analyze something because I heard what she said. But I want to, and I heard what the elder said. I just want to tie all that in before we zero in on the fourth day of the feast, before we zero in. Come on.
All right, going over to the book of Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1 down to 6, 11 down to 14. Verse 1 reads, moreover, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, 2, go and cry in the ears of Yadadzu, saying, thus says the Yahweh, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your espouses, when you went after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sworn, sown.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3. Israel was righteousness unto the Yahweh.
Wait, who we say?
Israel was righteousness.
So once upon a time ago, whoever Israel is, he was righteous to him. That'll be telling Jeremiah to go tell him. He said, once upon a time, he was righteous to him. And to be righteous to him, Brother Titus, so to be righteous, he said, once upon a time he was, and 6, 1 down to verse 4 to get warmed up. Deuteronomy 6. He said, once but a time ago, Israel was righteous to him. That's the point we're making. See, it's a point. We don't know where we're going, but we're going to get there. It's a point that you got to show your loyalty to him. Don't let no one tell you about certain man is on his way to do anything. Your loyalty goes to your mighty one. He said, once upon a time ago, O Israel, was all right with me. We're going to 6 chapter 1, 2, 3, 4. What it say?
We're going to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 read. Now these are the Torah instructions. First 5 books.
Read what you said.
Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which Yahweh, your Yahweh, commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2, that you might fear Yahweh, your Yahweh, to keep all his statutes and his commandments,
mm-hmm.
which I command you. You and your sons, and your sons' sons, all the days of your life,
mm-hmm.
and that your days may be prolonged. Verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, observe to do it, that you may be well with you, and that you may increase mightily, as Yahweh of your fathers hath promised you, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, Yahweh, our Yahweh, is one Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. So he wants Israel to know that he is one Yahweh. So he said, once upon a time ago, you was righteous to him. But what he said we supposed to be doing in verse 7?
Verse 7 reads, and you should teach them diligently and to your children, and you should talk of them, fit it in your house, and when you walketh by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rises up.
So now, tell me something. Do you do that with your nieces, nephews, your child? Do you tell them about that you're not a nigger, you're not African-American Negro, you are the children of Israel? Do you tell anybody of your offspring that that's who you really are? How many times have you looked your loved one and said, well, I'm a children of Israel. I'm from basically the lead tribe, the fourth son of Israel. How many times have you said that? How many times? Think about it. Even with the one got the degrees. Skip down to verse 24 and 25.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24 and 25. And Yahweh commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear Yahweh, our Yahweh, for our good, always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. Verse 25. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before Yahweh, our Yahweh, as he had commanded us.
So he commanded the children of Israel to do the commandments, laws and statutes. That is the commandments for the children of Israel. He didn't give no commandments to the Christian, Muslim, Judaism, the Negro, the colored man, the black man. He didn't give none to them. He gave this order to the children of Israel. So if you're the children of Israel, this message is telling you, and he told the seer Jeremiah, he said, I remember Israel, the children of Israel, when they was righteous with me. That means he remembered when you kept his laws, statutes, and commandments. He remembered when you wanted it, but you're not doing it anymore. So that's the reason he sent the stranger on you, and he after pivot it started it, what we read in last night lesson, to have you forget all your rules and regulations. So now he come to restore what he taken not away from you. See, so that's what he meant by he come to restore what was taken not from you, because you ain't always been in this beggar's position. That's why we have to bring back to your attention, but it can only work with you by you keeping the laws, statutes, and commandments with all of the other nations tell you it's done away with. Either you don't believe the Bible or you don't. The Bible says, I remember you. And it's like Jeremiah again. Because in Jeremiah, he told, remember, how he get his message to the children of Israel is through the seer. That's how he operates. He have no message to tell a Pope or none of them dignitaries or Pope. They don't have his message. They have a message that you're not going to read out of the Bible. They have something they don't concocted together and passed on to you. You got to see through that. That ain't the way the Bible received a message. And that's what, whatever the elder said, we working around too, whatever he did, bring to the table, is showing you that. The reason you in this condition, because you following the man. Like I heard some old court man will be coming in the world from the Roman Catholic Church. It's nobody important but the Almighty's words. And the children of Israel will be hot, hook, line, and sinker on what his words say. The only way he's going to restore back what he's taken not away from you, you got to recognize yourself from the pages of this book. Now, he had Thomas, Brother Micaiah, he had Thomas, you know, O'Dowd and Thomas, and he told Dowd and Thomas something. You're not going to find it in your regular book because he was taken away from you. But he said in verse 3 that Thomas was one of his followers called disciples. He looked tight as eyeball to eyeball, Thomas, eyeball to eyeball. Say something to him. Listen what he said to Thomas in verse 3. What he said when you read that brother Micaiah?
Book of Thomas, verse 3. Verse 3 reads, Yahweh the Son said, if those that need you say to you, see the kingdom is in the sky, then the birds of the sky will precede you. If they say to you, it is in the sea, then the fish will precede you. Rather, the kingdom is inside of you, and it is outside of you. When you come to know yourself, then you will become known, and you will realize that it is you who are the sons of the living Father. But if you will not know yourself, you dwell in privacy, and it is you who are that privacy.
You see? So when you call yourself any other thing that the mighty gave you, he said you are the children of Israel from the 12 tribes. Now you got to figure out by what tribe you're from and we have no problem in putting you in your proper perspective, because he has blessed us to be able to show you exactly when your speech come on the table. We can tell exactly what a place you at in the Twitter tribe. He gave us that ability. But you will never know yourself until you recognize you are a member of the 12 tribes of Israel. Bloodline, not religion. Remember, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, that's a religion. That's Israelite over in Christianity. Israelite over in Judaism. Israelite over there in, two out of three. But you got the picture. Showing you that you are Israelite in that. That is your bloodline. Your bloodline is Israel. You could be a Christian today, and then you could be a Muslim tomorrow. Then you'll be a Muslim to Judaism. All these religions. He didn't give you a religion. He talked to a bloodline people. And once you recognize you got a bloodline inherited in him, then he can restore back what he took not away from you. But you got to recognize his hand, and that's why he called Jeremiah to side. He said, Jeremiah, once upon a time ago, Jeremiah, they was righteous to me. Let's go back and read a little bit more of that. He wanted Jeremiah to hear this real carefully. He said, once upon a time, they was righteous to me, Jeremiah. And who are you talking about? The children of Israel. Now watch this, what he says to these children of Israel. And read verse 3 again. Listen real good. Now, we're going to draw the picture. He's talking about the children of Israel. Once upon a time, he told Jeremiah, they was righteous to me, Jeremiah, the seer. Verse 3.
Book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, verse number 3. Verse 3 reads, Israel was righteousness unto the Yahuwah, and the first fruit of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Yahuwah.
And look what the man just said. He done told you right now. You think by you continue whooping these people down and denying everything else, he says a day coming that I'm going to get you forward. But I can't get you forward until you wake up to know who you are. Because as long as you got the mindset of the young lady said what she said, that she's a nigger and her children is a nigger. And we're going to be a nigger all the way. We nigger born and nigger gone. Long as you have that mindset, the Almighty can't help you. He can't help you. But if you see yourself with this Bible open as the children of the book, the children of Israel, then he can help you. Then you know what he'll do? In Revelation, Brother Titus, something he'll do. In the third chapter of Revelation, it's something he'll do once you look in the mirror and you it's clear that you are a member of the children of Israel. And guess what? It's something written that he said he'll do. And we want to read what he said he'll do in 3:12. Let's see what he said he'll do. Now listen, guess what he told John in Revelation 1:17-19 and 4:1, he came down to talk eyeball to eyeball to John. John wrote the hereafter. After 96 A.D., his word is over with. It's no more, nothing added to his word. John wrote the hereafter, and he finished the course in 96 A.D. Anything that you say he said after 96 A.D., you're a liar and the truth not in you. Because he threw talk. He told John in 1:17-19 and 4:1 to write the hereafter. You got it? Good. Now look what he says to John in 3:12. What did he say there, Brother Titus? What did he say?
Entire prophecy. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my Yahuwah, and he should go no more out, and now will write upon him the name of my Yahuwah, and the name of the city of my Yahuwah, which is the new Yada Judah, which come down out of heaven from my Yahweh. And I will write upon him my new name.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You write on him the new name. What he says in 3:12.
Revelation chapter 3, verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my Yahweh. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my Yahweh and the name of the city of my Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now, I'm struggling to find out something. I'm struggling right now, but I need me a hit. I'm struggling on what he said he'll do if you get this thing right. I'm struggling right now. He said he'll do something that we can read in
1:26.
Well, if it pertains to, we don't want to say exactly what it is, but he said he'll do something. If you understand the program, it's like a job. It's once you understand a job, and, you know, once you understand a job, they walk away from you. But he's saying he'll do something.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get my, you going, y'all going to throw it on the table. And I'm going to get my book, and I'm going to repeat. Now, unless you come up to the right answer. I know where you got the right answer. Go ahead.
You got 312 on the table already, right? Put 226 back on. Put that 226 on the table.
All right. Anti-prophecy, Revelation, chapter 2, verse 26. And he that overcometh and keep my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nation.
Yeah, well, we can go with that, but that ain't what I'm looking for. So now we don't got our good book, and we want to peep what he said he'll do. Now, he said he'll do something. Now, who else want to help me out? Now, Elder Mr. Tibbs, if you want to help the OC out, it's something he said that we can read. There's something he said that what he'll do. That's what I want. I want to know, see, this guy right here is a guy to, if you do right, he kicks in. So now we know he made a profound statement, but I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at exactly what he said, but let me see who's gonna be just fumbling around, and let you give me the number one hit. What he say he'll do? Who gonna help me out? Now, who gonna help me out? Hey, Elder, Mr. Tibbs, you on the clock. So, who wanna help the OC out on what he said he'll do that we can read? What did he say that he'll do that we can read? Well, I can see I hear the crickets real good, so we make sure y'all make notes of it. Go to third chapter and pick it up at verse number 19. 19 and 20. This is what he say he'll do. Now, this is what he say he'll do. And 3:19 and 20. Listen to this. Bring it out there, Brother Micaiah, 3:19 and 20.
In the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19 and verse number 20.
Mm-hmm.
The book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 19 reads, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten.
Mm-hmm.
Be zealous therefore, and repent.
Watch, here we go.
Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door.
He said, I stand at the door.
And knock.
And knock.
If any man hear my voice.
Any man hear. So I stand at the door and knock. Knock the door of your mind. I'm at the door. Knocking on the door of your mind. Go ahead.
If any man hear my voice.
But if you hear my voice now.
And open the door.
Listen.
I will come in to him.
And what?
And will sup with him, and he with me.
Ain't that something? Man, they come down with you. See, if you recognize who you are, you're not African American, Negro, and colored Christian. You know who you are. Then he said, I'm gonna come in, and I'm gonna send somebody to sup with you. I'm gonna be able to give you 34. Now in St. John 3:34, Brother Titus. he did, I'm going to give you a 334. So I'm going to tell you something. We ain't going anywhere until you understand the rules or regulations. That's what he's doing now. He's getting his thing prepared. That's why I say it's very important for us to be on every network it is. So those got the technology to do it. We need to be on every network it is because somebody in there, Yahweh, wants us to reach them. Because they're bumming around right now, although we 700,000 strong on the international side now. But that ain't even an inch of people. We got to get this message out through the whole world that the Almighty says, if you get me right, I'm going to come in and suck with you. Now, but you got to know who you are. Clearly, you're not Christian. You're not Muslim. You're not Judaism. All them religions. Your bloodline is the children of Israel, the people of the book. Then he can come in and suck with you. If you don't have that, you ain't got nothing coming. He ain't going to come in and suck with you. He's just going to sit there and watch you until you recognize the signs of the time. What you reading?
I'm reading John chapter 3, verse 34.
What it say?
John chapter 3, verse 34.
Listen to this.
For whom Yahweh has sent, speak of the words of Yahweh.
See, who the Almighty sent, you're going to speak his word. So if you sent by him, if you got a calling on him, on yourself, and he sent you, you're going to speak his word. You will never tell him about where you're going or where you've been. That's irrelevant. That's not his word. His word is in his Bible. The conversation is about the words in this Bible. Go ahead.
For Yahweh has given not the Spirit by measure unto him.
And he'll give you a big better full of his word. You know, you don't ever say this about every broadcast. How could one group get so much out of one book? Six nights a week, 3 hour broadcasts. Because he'll give you what he wants you to say in that very same hour. Somebody will say something, then we'll go in the book and the Spirit will just help you tie that in. Because somebody needs to know that he don't work if you speak in your own thing or you got a jerk and a kick and a run. No. That is drama from Satan the devil. He don't work like that. He'll come in and suck with you. Now come on back to read verse 21 and 22. Now look what he says in the third chapter of Revelation, end time prophecy. Look what he says, Brother Titus, in 21 and 22. Now what can he say getting back to verse number 11?
Okay, Revelation chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, and verse 11.
Yes.
Revelation chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sit down with my Father in his throne.
See, he's talking about sitting down. He ain't talking about breaking out, running, and doing a split and all that stuff and all flipping around. No, sit down. Sit down. It's about sitting down. This is the thing about. It's about you running around, flipping, running around, putting on the show. No. He said, he'll come and sit with you. Look what he said in verse 22.
Verse 22. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the church. Through the words, congregation of the children of Israel.
That's right. So he said, now, I come in and suck with you. I sit down with you. So that's the same thing we'll do in the 600 camps. We'll sit down with you. We're not going to be running around trying to catch you after you. Ooh, I heard a word, now I got to break out running all the way down the hall and come back. No, you ain't got to break out running, come down the hall and come back. Sit down. Look what he said in verse number 11.
Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which you have, that no man take your crown.
You don't let nobody take your crown from you. If somebody tell you about you missed a certain man that came in town, so what? What man? What man is important in the word of the Almighty? Don't work like that. The most important man it is you understand what he's saying out of his Bible. This is a man you better make sure you keep up with. And we coming back to St. John 14 a little bit later. But the point I'm trying to tell you, don't let nobody take your crown for you. If they can't show you in the Bible what they're trying to show you, then strike that from the record. And if they can't recognize you are not up on a religion, Christianity is a religion. Islam is a religion. Judaism is a religion. The children of Israel, which he's responding to, is a bloodline of people that he gave his word from the beginning to the ending on it. And he made it so plain, oh, Sister Judith, and Amos the Seer 3, 1 and 2, he made it so plain, how did we miss this? How did we miss a verse like this in Amos chapter 3, Sister Judith, verse 1 and 2 and verse 7? Let's see, how did we miss this? And we got all these degrees on the wall, and we have sent our cousins, brothers, and sisters to these cemeteries, that's what it is, because you'd be dead in the water when you come back with a degree, and anybody on the Bible will show you found it, you dead in the water with that degree in your briefcase. It's not no seminaries, it's cemeteries. They lead you to die with the understanding of Yahweh and the children of Israel. Look what he told Amos, and you tell me, those you know who got a degree, have they ever read this verse to you, Amos 3, 1, 2, and verse 7 by Sister Judith? Tell them, bring out their degrees first, and tell me, have you ever put a sermon on 3, 1, 2, and 7? What is that?
Against the whole family which I brought up from the land of bondage, saying, verse 2, you only have I know of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your sins.
Is it you only have I know out of how many families?
All the families of the earth.
You only, what that means? The only one he has dealt with is the children of Israel. So those that's not upon the banner of the children of Israel, he is not dealing with you. You do not have a word from him if he says, the children of Israel, you only have I known out of all the peoples of the earth. And now we told Amos to see it. And what he said in verse 7.
Verse 7, surely the Yahweh would do nothing. But he revealed his secret unto his servants, the seers.
And if he got something to say, it's not going to be nobody from Rome, not from the Roman Catholic Church, not from the Latter-day Saints, and not from the Mormons, nowhere. He said, if I got something to say, I'm going to tell the seer. And guess who all the seers is that we can read out of the Bible? That we can read out of the Bible. We go on about Micah 37 chapter verse 1 and 17. Let's find out who is the seer of the Bible. We go on, see, can we read who you only have I known out of all the families of the earth, and I will do nothing but reveal my secret unto my servants the seer. Now we say, right? But who was the seer? Especially could be anybody. Let's give me anybody that went to a cemetery, not a seminary, a cemetery, to the graveyard. Let's see. We go on to the 37th chapter of the book of, and what we go on to find out, who did he say is his seer? We're going to find out what he says in the 37th chapter. Is that what I want? Let's see what I want. I want the 37th chapter. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody help me out? Is it on point? Is it on point in Chronicles or? I want to make sure they're on point that they can read what I'm saying. So now we know it's thank you. Take it after Judas. That's Ezekiel. Oh, okay. He says Judas said, no, there. That's Ezekiel. Okay. See, that's what I like. I like when he said, no, fear. No. We can't follow you there, but we can follow you in Ezekiel. Okay. All right. You can follow me in Ezekiel 37, verse 1. What does it say?
Book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verse number 1 and verse 17.
We'll make it 38. Two scrolls. Make it 38, verse 1. Make a note of it. 38, verse 1. It was said in Ezekiel 38, verse 1 and 17. Now, this is real good, because now you got to ask those that got a message for you. If you've been sent from him, you speak the words of him. And this is what he said to Ezekiel the seer in 38, verse 1. What did he say?
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, verse 1 and 17. Verse 1 reads, and the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying,
what did he say?
Verse 17.
And 17, what did he say?
Thus said the Yahweh.
Uh-huh.
Are you he of whom I had spoken in the old time by my servant, the seers of Israel?
You see that? So when he had something to say, who did he speak to in old time?
His servant, the seers of Israel.
Now look at that. Now if you show that verse to anybody in Christianity, if Mama Judaism, they'll tell you you ain't got no more place in the world you at now. They'll start showing you the dough. They'll hold your hand out, they put your Bible in your hand, and put all your books in your hand, and two old missionaries will grab you by your arm and walk you out the dough. See that? That's how you get walked right out the dough if you show them that verse. He said, when I asked him to say, in old times, what did he say he did in verse 17? Read it again.
In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, verse 17, read. Thus says the Yahweh, are you he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servant, the seers of Israel?
You see that? Now, see, that opened the door. And everybody else understand that. When you read that verse to them, they know right then and there they got troubles on their hands. Because it can't hold up. And that's why he came on them feast days to restore what he's taking not away from you. And what he's taking away not from you was this information. So now we get to rehearse itself to bring it back to you. The information that have been taken away from you, that you're not African American, you're not Negro, you're not Christian. Matter of fact, do you know by calling yourself a Christian, do you know what he got written in his Bible in 65:15, Brother Titus?
Yes, sir.
Do you know on the international side, listen to me, Captain, by calling yourself a Christian, do you know what's written in this Bible? When you identify with a religion, Judaism religion, or Judaism or Muslim religion, do you know what he got written in his Bible pertaining to that? I mean, talking about you, children of Israel. We're going to see what he told Isaiah in 700 B.C. pertaining to you carrying a title instead of your name. What did he say in 65:15 that we can read?
The book of Isaiah the seer, chapter 65, verse 15. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for Yahweh shall slay you and call his servants by another name.
He said you're going to leave your name and you're going to pick up a curse name. And he said, what I'm going to do for you when you pick it up, I'm going to kick you in the rear end until you come up out of it. Because I'm going to play you. I'm going to keep whooping you until you recognize, and one day you'll get tired of getting this whooping on you. You get whooping on everything. Every business deal you get whooped on. You get whooped on everything you get whooped on. You get redlined on everything. He said, said you're going to remain until you recognize who you really are. He said you're going to leave your name for a cursed name. Now, what name did you leave your name for that you were identified with more than the name he gave you? Let's see what name you're going to pick up on. Then that's running and get you the way you see it there, young lion. These are the two names you're going to pick up on right here. And it's written in the book of Acts on the right side of the book in 11:26. It's two names you're going to pick up on, but these names to you is a cursed name. Let's see what the cursed name is to you. In 11:26, we're going to read the way we see it to get the two top names that is a curse to you, children of Israel. Let's see what the Bible says is a curse to you on the right side of the book in 11:26. What does it say, Brother Dice?
The book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 26 reads, and when he had found them, he brought them into Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians. First in Antioch.
You see that? That's the name you left for a curse. When you call Christian or church, now you have left your name for a curse. So anytime you identify when your preacher tell you, now, I don't know how many new guests we got, but if you want to come in to this church home, you're welcome to it. That's a curse name to turn of Israel. And when you call yourself a Christian, that's a cursed name to the children of Israel. And you just said, you're going to leave your name for a curse. Now, what name did you leave for a curse? Now, we're going to Micaiah in Numbers chapter 6 and pick up verse 22 and verse 27. And see what name he gave you that is not a curse. He said, you're going to leave your name for a curse. What name did you leave? That's not out according to taking notes, or are you sitting there amusing and just ran back listening? Take notes, because you'll be able to help somebody to come. You got a loved one that's often Christianity, Islam, or Judaism, you can help them. But first of all, they got to recognize they are the children of Israel. And he said the children of Israel are going to leave their name for a curse. And what name you identify with now? Chris Mass, Christ, and Christianity. Is that right? But them a curse name to you, children of Israel, because he gave you a name. Let's find what name he gave you and what he gave you the responsibility of this name if you apply it. We're going to Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 and verse 27. This is good, national audience. Come on.
The book of Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 down to 27. Verse 22 reads, and the Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, 23, speak unto Aaron, the seer, and unto his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. Verse 24, the Yahweh bless you and keep you. 25, the Yahweh make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. 26, the Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. 27. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them.
You see, the man said. So the blessing is in the name. He said, put my name on the children of Israel, and I'll bless them. So the name you carry is his name, Israel. You carry his name, Israel. Israel is a blessed name. That's why at the end of your name, you're supposed to put, you ain't got to go ask anybody anything. But at the end of your name, you put Israel there. Sure, you got to use your government name to cash your check. And that's good. Do so. But when you introduce yourself outside, you want the blessing of the Almighty over your head. At the end of your name, you put Israel there. And that is the game changer. So that name is a blessed name to you, Israel. Now, as long as you keep the other names on your name, you're not a blessed of Almighty. you're a blessing of the world. But the name Israel is a blessing to you. That's why you got to be restored back with each other, not away from you. He gave you this truth that your name, at the end of your name, is Israel. And that name carries a blessing. But you want to know who name that really is? We'll precept that by Brother Micaiah in the 49th chapter and see exactly who name that name Israel is. It didn't come from the lineage of the world. We're going to find out the origin of what his name Israel came from. We're going to read it now. Are you taking notes? Are you sitting around amused? Take notes. Because it might come up. You're going to know what name Israel came from. You need to read it now. The origin of what the name Israel came from. We're going to the 49th chapter and pick up verse 1, Brother Micaiah.
The book of Isaiah, 49. We're going to pick it up at verse number 1. The book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verse number 1, read. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, you people, from far. The Yahuwah the Father hath called me from the womb.
Yahuwah.
From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. Verse 2. He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me. He made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. Verse 3. And said unto me, you are my servant, Israel.
Hey, Dad. He is the man
we are both.
He said, the Father blessed me and told, oh, Israel, you're going to be my servant. So the Son's name, when he's in heaven, is Israel.
Hallelujah.
That name was brought down by the Holy Spirit and gave to a people, Israel.
Hallelujah.
Now, we're going to find out who that name was brought down to and given to.
Hallelujah.
So it's very important to understand the name Israel is a blessed name that came from heaven. It is the Son's name. The Father's name is YHWH. When the Son came, he came in the Father's name. But when he is in heaven, the Father just identified him as what name?
Israel.
O Israel.
O Israel.
Whom I will be honored in.
That's right.
But that read a little bit more. That sounds pretty good. Let's not read a little bit more of that. Now, nobody told over Israel. Now, the Father, through the mouth of the seer, was told this information. Son's name is Israel. The Father's name is Yahuwah. Right there, we read in verse 3. But he told him something else. Listen there. Let's not read a little bit more. Let's not make a little meal out of it. What else did he tell the minister spirit to tell Isaiah of what this name is so important about? What does he say? Come on.
Verse 3. It said unto me, you are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified.
Go ahead.
Verse 4. Then I, Yahuwah the Son, said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing. And in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with Yahuwah the Father, and my work with my Yahuwah the Father.
He said, reading your book of what I'm getting ready to do, it's like these hard-headed people ain't going to listen to me. He said, I'll labor for vain. So remember, he's reading the book. He called the end from the beginning. He's reading exactly what he wants to be done. And once he reads the record, I got to go down and mess around with these stiff-necked people's ears that they ain't going to believe me. Matter of fact, look what he says to Moses about these people called the children of Israel in 14 verse 20 there, Brother Titus. Let's see what he says about you, children of Israel. You know the one that called yourself Christian, Islamic, Judaism, religion. Mm-hmm. You call yourself black, African-American, Negro in color, and super cool. Look what he told Moses about you in the 14th chapter, verse 20 and 21. What did he say there, Brother Titus?
Okay, he said 14, chapter, verse 20 and 21.
Yeah, what did he say?
What's your book?
Number.
Oh, Yahweh. Numbers chapter 14, verse 20 and 21.
What did it say?
The book of Numbers of the Heavenly Tablets, chapter 14, verse 20 reads, and Yahweh said, I have pardoned it according to your word.
Uh-huh.
Verse 21. But as truly as I live, all the earth should be filled with my honor of Yahweh.
Uh-huh.
Verse 22. Because all those men which have seen my greatness and my miracles, which I did in Egypt, Mizraim, in the wilderness, and have tempted me now, these 10 times.
You don't see all that I did, and you don't kept it how many times?
10 times.
Let's see what he told Moses about the children of Israel that have tempted him 10 times. Keep reading.
And have not hearkened to my voice.
And you have not hearkened and listened to his voice,
Verse 23. Surely they should not see the land which I swear to their father.
Okay.
Neither should any of them that provoke me see it.
He said, you ain't got nothing coming. He said, Moses, the one that seen me do what I did, the land that I told you you going to, they ain't going to even see it. I'm going to kill them in the wilderness. They have provoked me 10 times. They see my cloud at night. See my cloud by day. They see me riding in the cloud. And they still won't believe me. So a lot of times your people ain't gonna believe you. Anyway, go. He was eyewitness and they wouldn't believe
it.
So you don't mess around and get caught up with anybody based on they don't want to believe it. Look, he was eyewitness that didn't believe. But I'm telling you something. There's a penalty to keep that spirit going on. You're not gonna get where you want to get to by keep on being an unbeliever on the word of Yahweh. Yeah. So that's what he said. These people have provoked me and they've provoked me now. Now look at right now. He got an AK feast called a Feast of Tabernacle. I mean, Feast of Dedication.
Mm-hmm.
What role do you play in that?
No.
What are on your mind? Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. Christmas. Merry Christmas. What they got to do with the Feast of Dedication? And that's why he's trying to restore back to you what he's taking out away. And that's the information of what he laid down before the children of Israel and no other nation. So it's for the children of Israel to obey this thing if you want to see the return of the Almighty, although he is coming. But how are you going to find you? He's going to find you up in Christianity, Islam, or Judaism. Or he's going to find you doing the work of Yahweh, YHWH. So the song says, I'll lay it for nothing. What does he say behind that, Bubba?
Okay.
Remember, Kyle, what does he say?
Going back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, picking up at verse number 4.
Right.
Then I said, well, verse number 4. Then Yahweh the Son said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with Yahweh the Father and my work with my Yahweh the Father.
Uh-huh.
Verse 5. And now, said Yahweh the Father.
What did Yahweh the Father tell his son?
That formed me, Yahweh the Son, from the womb to be his servant.
Uh-huh.
To bring Israel, the children of Israel, again to him, though the children of Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of Yahweh the Father.
That is the greatest mystery in teaching. His purpose is, according to the seer, is to do what? According to that verse. Now, this is real chapter. Those on this national radio broadcast. Here go the foundation or the purpose of the Son that was sent in the flesh. Here is the number one purpose right here that he came for. What do you say?
To be a servant to bring the children of Israel to Yahweh, though they be not gathered.
You see that? That is the purpose. And that's one of the greatest mysteries in teaching. So when we go and now with that understanding, now when we go, this will be kind of restore back to you, this understanding. So now when we go to the 18th chapter, Sister Judith, verse 11, backed up with Brother Titus and 15:24, then you got the picture. If you roll down this verse right here, if you roll down this verse, you know what its purpose is. Now when you go on the right side of the book and read 18 verse 11, but you got to have the foundation, what the Father say, the Son say, I came to bring the children of Israel back to the Father. Mm-hmm. So when we read Matthew 18 verse 11, you should get a rude awakening. What is that for you? Matthew 18 11. But this is, we just reading the Bible to you. just putting it in order. The Son was sent down by the Father to get you back on track on your agreement you made with him, you children of Israel. And he told you, see Isaiah, you're going to leave your name Israel for a curse. Because we use the name Israel, guess what you got? According to Scripture, by Brother Titus, in the 32nd chapter, verse 24 and 28 of Genesis. Do you know when you use the name Israel, do you know what's written in the Bible about how important this name is, Israel? Do you know he got something written? He sent the angel, read 32 verse 1 to make sure he sent the angel.
Yes, sir.
He sent the angel from heaven to tell somebody something. Did you follow along? 32 verse 1 and 24 to 28. Listen to what was said that we all can read together. What did he say?
We're going to Genesis chapter 32, verse 1, 24 to 28. Genesis chapter 32, verse 1, read. And Jacob went on his way, and the ministering spirit of Yahweh met him. Verse 24 to 28. And Jacob was left alone, and there went a man with him until the breaking of the day. Verse 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Verse 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let you go except you bless me.
What did Jacob want?
A blessing.
Oh, Jacob want a blessing. Mm-hmm. Yes, man, I'm about to, he said, I ain't letting you go. Let me have my hold on. That means we got to tell you what we got to do. We got to hold on. Don't let nobody take your crown from you. You got to hold on. Your grandfather is holding on. He said, I know there's an angel. I know there's some big thing. I got to hold on to me. He said, I'm going to hold on to this angel. And I ain't let you go until you do what?
Bless me.
Oh, he want a blessing. Let's find out what the blessing he want. Come on.
Verse 27. He just says here, what is your name?
Oh, what's your name? You want a blessing? Then what is your name?
And he said, Jacob.
He said, my name is
28. And he said, your name should be called no more Jacob.
He said, don't use the name Jacob no more. You want a blessing? Don't use your government name no more. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm. But Israel.
But what?
But Israel.
Oh. Use the name that came from heaven at the end of your name. Israel. Go ahead.
For as a prince.
Wait a minute. When you got Israel at the end of your name, what that make you?
For as a prince.
Or a princess.
Yahweh.
Go ahead.
As you power with Yahweh.
Wait a minute. And by using the name Israel, prince or princess, you got what?
Power with Yahweh.
Power with Yahweh. Go ahead. Yahweh.
And with man.
And you have power with man. When you tell them you Israel, you got power with man because the authority of your mighty one have gave you the power because that's the name he responds to because Israel is his sons and daughters. And if any mother ever had a child or babysitting, when he hears somebody crying, I got to stop what I'm doing to see what my child wants. I'm immediately stop what I'm doing. I hear my child crying. So I'm going to stop immediately and go see what my child wants. And that's what's going on when they're in the crib.
Y'all go.
Stop what I'm doing and see. Oh, child on the phone talking. I hear my child crying. Hold on, baby. Let me go to the and see what my child wants. See, when you use the name Israel, the Almighty knows that you called on him. You know you recognize your father. That's why it's so important to have the name Israel at the end of your name. Keep reading.
And as prevail. Verse 29. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray you, your name.
He said, what's your name? by me, I come down on an order to give you this blessing, to give you this name. So it ain't about me. I ain't telling you jack about me. Go ahead.
And he said, wherefore is it that you did ask after my name? And he blessed him there.
And he done what?
And he blessed him there.
And he blessed him and went on about his business. He came down for one reason, to go through the drama with him, to rouse around with him, for him to already know what the man going to say, to get to take care of business and go back where he came from. So he put that name, Israel, on Jacob. And said, now you got power with Yahweh and with man, because you have prevailed. That means the struggle was made. It ain't no cakewalk. So when you got Israel at the end of your name, you are up under blessing. Whether anybody give it to you, the Almighty already gave it to you up under his eyes. So you use the name you got to cash your check. But when somebody asks you, what's your name? You tell me your name is, my name is, whatever my name is, Israel.
Israel.
Now you got the blessing of the Almighty over your head in that conversation. See, now you're walking God straight because your father now is all here. Then he can hear his child call on him. And look what he says that we can read from Micaiah 2, 23 and 25. You see how important that name is, Israel. As long as you Willie Earl Jackson and all the other names, that ain't the blessed name. Last name at the end of your name is Israel. That's very important. Look what he said that we can read. What are we reading again?
He said 23 and 25.
Or what?
We
said in the spirit, so now when you're with me, you call in my letter. Which one? What?
He said 23 and 25.
Or what? I've been lost my point. I thought you was with me there, young man.
I was with you.
Okay, you with me then? Come on with it then. What are we talking about now? I forgot who y'all was in the spirit of y'all. What is? Now you slowed me up, man. What are we talking about? Go back and read the last verse again. Where we wrote verses read. Read the last verse.
You got to read the book of Genesis 32, verse 28.
Okay, read verse 28 again.
28, read. He said, your name should be called no more Jacob, name of Christ. No more called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince has you power with Yahweh and with men and has prevailed.
Well, I was in spirit. I lost the train of thought. I thought I sent you somewhere to get me right, but it's gone from me now. He don't take it away from me. So we leave that guess where it's at. So one thing about it, by having that name, at the end of your name Israel, you're upon a blessing. And I remember exactly what I said in Exodus chapter 2, he brought it back to my attention. 2:23-25, Exodus. Point of the name of Israel. Because look what he says about this name and these people. In 2:23 down to verse 25 of Exodus, there, young man. What do you say?
Going over to the book of Exodus. We're on chapter 2.
Yes.
We're going to pick it up at verse
23, 24, and 25.
Okay, 23 down to 25.
Yeah, what it say?
The book of Exodus, chapter 2, verse 23 down to 25. 23 read.
What?
And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried. And their cry came unto Yahweh by reason of the bond. Verse 24. Yahweh heard their groaning, and Yahweh remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Israel. 25. And Yahweh looked upon the children of Israel, and Yahweh had respect unto them.
So he ain't looked upon Christian, Islamic, Judaism. He ain't looked upon none of that. He looked upon not black, African American, Negro, and color. He looked on all that. He looked down on the children of Israel. So he got respect for the children of Israel. Because children of Israel, according to Exodus 4:22, look what he said. Look what he said that we can read. Exodus 4:22. 22, 21 and 22. Look what he says about this. He makes a statement, and look what he says that we can read in the fourth chapter, verse 21 and 22.
Book of Exodus, chapter 4, verse 21 and verse 22. Verse 21 reads, and Yahweh said to Moses, when you go to return us into Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand. But I would harden his mind, that he should not let the people go. 22. And you shall say unto Pharaoh, thus says the Yahweh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn.
Go ahead, Mr. Mo.
23. And I say unto you, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if you refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay your son, even your firstborn.
You see that? You see what the old father said about his sons down there, children of Israel? He said, let them go where they can serve me. See, all we're supposed to be serving is him. We don't supposed to be serving no more than him. And that's what written that we can read, Brother Titus, in 2555. So he telling you something. So he came to restore back to you what he did not take away from you. You supposed to be serving him. You're not serving him. You're serving the Christian man. You're serving some man out of Rome. You're serving everybody but the man of the Bible. But look what he says about this in 2555 Leviticus, who his servant is and who you supposed to be serving. So you're not doing that. And that's the reason why right now families is broke today. We out of order everywhere because we're not doing nothing the Bible says. And that's what that woman made a statement about. I'm a born a nigga. I'm a white man's nigga. And my kids are a white man nigga. And they don't remain that way. Because he's been broken. You've been broken if you don't recognize how to help others by showing your true identity. Look what he says about who you're supposed to be serving that we can read. Leviticus 25, verse 55. Listen to this.
The book of the heavenly tablet. The book of Leviticus, chapter 25, verse 55. For unto me, the children of Israel are servants. They are my servants, whom I brought forth out of the land of bondage. I am Yahuwah, your Yahuwah.
You see that? The only one you're supposed to be serving is your mighty one. If you want your father to get back in your business, then you got to serve him. But look what you're trying to serve. You're trying to serve two masters. You're trying to serve the Christian man, the Judaism man, and the Islamic man, all contrary to the Bible. They'll never teach you what we're teaching you now how to take for. And we're going to get back on St. John because I want to get back to and retract his steps again, but I need to take care of a little bit more in St. John chapter 4. Now, 14 through 20 and 21 through 20. I'm going to run through this real quick so I can get on what we got to get on. But remember, this is only a feast of dedication on day 4. Still got 5, 6, 7, and 8. So we'll take care of all of this. But remember, we got to do it the way he tells us to do it. Not the way we want to do. I already had the program set in my mind, but it don't mean nothing. He took it a whole nother way. From the statement that the elder made, you won't tie it all in. St. John 14, verse 14 down to verse 20, and Brother Micaiah, we will hopefully be quiet through 21 through 26. Let's say.
All right, John, chapter 14, verse 14. All right, I'm at verse 18. Let's talk about verse 18. John, chapter 14, verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live. You shall live also. Verse 20. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye are in me, and I in you. Verse 21,
St. John chapter 14, verse 21 down to 26. Verse 21 reads, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. 22. Judas says unto him, not Asra, Yahweh.
Iscariot.
Yahweh, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? 23. Yahweh the Son answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my words will love him. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. 24. He that love me not, keep not my saying. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. 26. But the Comforter, which is the righteous Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you.
So this Comforter is a what again according to verse 26? What is the Comforter according to verse 26?
A teacher.
A teacher. The Comforter is a teacher. So when he came to go down to the temple site, he came to teach you. He comes to, and a lot of times you'd be a disembobulated brain, but when you hear the truth, you receive a teacher that teach you what you need to know on experience, a thing that you thought was one way and told another, and your mind comes to be relaxed. Once you get a teacher, a comforter, and that job is to teach you. Read verse 24 again.
The book of St. John, chapter 14, verse 24 reads, he that love me not, keep not my saying.
Mm-hmm.
And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me.
Mm-hmm. So he said, if you don't keep my word, you don't love me.
That's right.
You love me not. Verse 19.
Verse 19. Yet a little while.
Yes.
And the world see me no more.
He said, a little while, the world's not going to see me no more. That's what he said.
But you see me.
But you going to see me.
Because I live, you shall live also.
He said, if I live,
mm-hmm.
and you will live also.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but you ain't going to see me no more.
Mm-hmm.
But I live. So now, what is he trying to, is he trying to tell you something that you need to know? Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. But you got to read what he's telling you. So, First John chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. This is real chapter, what he said. He said, now you gonna see me, but you ain't gonna see me no more, but you gonna see me. Now what is he talking? What is he trying to say? How is you gonna see him? And you're not gonna see him. What is he saying? Remember, through the precepts to just understand how you see him again. We'll show you shortly. After we read 1 John chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, what it say?
You're going to 1 John, back of the book, chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, read. He that said, I know him, he keepeth not his commandments of the first five books. The law is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word in him truly is the love of Yahweh perfected. Hereby know we that are in him.
So his word is the word according to verse 5.
Perfect.
Now, what is his word? What is this word that, read that verse again. Because you got two hits there. You got to bring it out, young man. You got to bring it out. Read that verse again. So these two words is pointing towards something, but you got to have the number one hit. Come back and read again verse 4. And I'm going to bring it to the table, and you take notes on the two important words you say. Read verse 2-4.
First John chapter 2, verse 4. He that says, I know him.
He that says, I know him.
And keep it not. His commandments.
And you don't keep his commandments.
Is a liar.
You are a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
And the truth is not in him.
And the truth is not in you. If you say you know him and you're not keeping his commandments, you are a liar. And the truth is not in you. That's what you say, right?
Yes, sir.
If you say you know him and you keep not his commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. That's what he said, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, what did he say in verse 5?
Verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word.
Now, he that keepeth his what?
Word.
So what is his word according to verse 4?
True.
The truth. His word is the truth. That's what you got to have in you. The word you got to have in you. That's the truth.
That's right.
So that's got to be in you. The word. The word. Go ahead. The word.
In him truly is the love of Yahweh.
And his word is the what?
Truth.
Truth.
The truth and is the what? The love of Yahweh. The truth is the love of Yahweh. Remember you read earlier in 14:15?
Mm-hmm.
If you are, matter of fact, read again, for he said, if you love me, you keep my what?
If you love me, you keep my commandments.
You keep my commandments. So you can't lip service me by saying, oh, I love him. But you're not keeping his commandments. So his word is the love of his truth.
Right.
And he is the truth. So now when you love him, you're going to keep his word, and then you have his love. And he said, him and the Father will come to you. The love is keeping what he's saying. And you read what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't love him unless you keep what he's saying. So how can you assume and say you love him and you're not keeping his commandments? How you love him by keeping Sunday? How you love him by calling yourself Christian, Judaism, Islamic? That's not your love. He ain't said none of them. I ain't heard their name mentioned now time. Unless I mentioned. We didn't read out no Bible. He was talking to the children of Israel. Is that what we read?
Yeah,
he said, I come to restore back to the children of Israel what I took not away from them. And what you have walked away from is his love, his word, and truth. Finish verse 5.
In him truly is the love of Yahweh perfected.
Yeah.
Hereby know we that we are in him.
That's how you know that you are in him and he in you. When you got the love of Yahweh, you got his word, because he is the truth. We're going to take it at another time. But now, he said, I'm going to send a comforter to you. And that's what he come to do on this piece of tabernacle. He came to comfort them through the word. He came to eat them up and drag them up, sure enough. But he came to give them the word. Now let's find out exactly what the comforter is and who the comforter was sent to, which is his word. And we're going to back up to the seal. Remember, he do nothing but reveal the secret to his servant, the seal, right? We're going to 51st chapter of Micaiah. Look at verse 3 and 12 and 13. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 51, verse 3, 12, and 13. You got to precept your Bible to have a proper understanding. So when you're going to him coming at you and restoring back to you, if you want his love, you got to keep his word. Because he is the truth. Not man, he is the truth. And he also something else that we can read. Then he got protocol on what he did after that. Isaiah 51, 3, 12, and 13. Brother Micaiah, bring it.
Okay. We're going over to the book of Isaiah. We want chapter 51, verse 3, 12, and 13.
And Brother God, Brother Titus had me Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. Wait a minute. Well, yes, now, go down to verse 4. Particularly verse 4.
All right. We're going over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 51. We're picking up at verse 3, 12, and 13.
What?
Verse 3, read.
What?
For the Yahuwah shall comfort Yahdah Judah.
Wait a minute. So who is the comfort here?
Yahuwah.
Yahuwah is the comfort. So ain't no man coming out of New Jersey or Rome. No man is the comforter is Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm.
That is, he gonna comfort you, Judah. So he come to comfort you. That's what he's doing now on the feast of dedication. He coming to comfort you. You was in captivity. He come to bring the comforting word to you to let you know how this thing gonna unfold itself. That's what he was doing on them 8 days. He come to teach you. Then once he got K4 out the way, he gonna eat them up and drink them up. But he came to teach you. The first thing he did was ask for the book when he got there and start teaching.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go straight over there and start eating the turkey dressing and the corn.
Mm-hmm.
He went straight and grabbed the book, the scroll, and started teaching you. And that's what we do first. We teach you first. Then we'll eat him up and drink him up. After we teach you on what this man was doing on day four. Read.
Chapter 51, verse 7 3. For the Yahuwah shall comfort Yahdah Judah.
You see that?
He will comfort all her waste places.
All her waste places.
And he will make her wilderness like Eden.
Yeah, he will make your wilderness like Eden.
And her desert like the garden of Yahuwah.
You see what the man come to do? The man come to flat out to show you that the problem, the ghetto part of mindset you living in now, I'm coming to comfort you to tell you, if you return back to me the way it is written, I'm going to pull you out of the ghetto and put you back in the garden that your father, Adam, wants to get back to, and you can come back there with him. But you got to understand who I really am. So on the feast day, he came to teach you because you was about the wrong rule. He said, it's not going to remain once you understand the true meaning of December 25th. December 25th was to restore you back. Now, Bubba.
Yes, sir.
Give me the first book. Maccabees. I need to get me a little bit more. In the first book of Maccabees, particularly verse 42, chapter 2, verse 42. So this is what he's coming to do. That's why we going to eat him up and drag him up, but we know we got to first teach you what we is to understand the true meaning of December 25th and restoring back to you what he took not away from you. He didn't take the information from you. You walked away from it yourself by being hoodwinked through other nations. So we go on to 1 Maccabees chapter 2, pick with verse 42 down to verse 48. Listen real good.
1 Maccabees chapter 2, verse 42 to 48.
Listen good.
1 Maccabees chapter 2, verse 42.
Right.
Then came there unto him a company of Assyrians, who were a mighty man of Israel.
They were mighty men of Israel.
Even all such were voluntarily devoted unto the law.
And they were about the law. They came about the law. They came not because their brother was in distress. They came because they were working with the law. Great.
Verse 43. Also, all they that fled for persecution joined themselves unto them.
And the one that broke out running, but they seen the one that was about this law, they came out the bushes and said, here, can we get with you? And that same thing happened to the six anointed camps. We keep on pounding this word out. Those all over the world don't want to get in contact with us. That's why I say, if it means that those that know how to get up on any other broadcast than what we on now, we on Pal Talk, Blog Talk, and we on Facebook. But we need to be on and everything else. This message got to go through it. So if you got the skills to do so, step to the plate and put your brick in. You got it? Good. Get ready.
And we're stayed unto them.
Uh-huh.
Verse 44. So they joined their forces.
And they joined their forces. That's the key. When we join our forces.
It's most sinful man.
And then we talk about what kind of man?
Sinful man.
Sinful man. I mean, they might have been an Israelite or whatever. Our job is to smoke sinful people. And sinful man is those that we don't want to keep the law. Say, you be my brother. You be my sister. But you a sinful man or woman if you're not keeping the law. Go ahead.
In their anger.
Yes.
And wicked man in their wrath.
Go ahead.
But the rest fled. To the heathen, little word, nation
and
of Esau.
You got some of your own countrymen going to get the heathen jiggers on them, and they're going to run to Esau and find some. And they're going to fight you tooth and nail about some big dignitary come out of Rome somewhere to set something to you. See? And they'll fight you all the way to the ground. Like the woman said, you know about the people, how they done me when she was sick? The white folks came and blessed me. And bless my children, and I'm going to be a nigger, and my children going to be a nigger till the day we die.
Mm.
So her spirit was broken. But we can't restore back to you. You ain't always been a nigger. You just became a nigger by walking away from the law, commandments, and statutes. That's how you became a nigger.
To Esau and his five sons for Shakur.
And that means for comfort. That means you ran for comfort. That was what Shakur means. Comfort. You can't stand the heat in the kitchen. This system on the camp, we bring the heat. Can you stand it? Or you gotta run for Shakur means comfort. I gotta have somebody of another nation lay their hand on me, knowing the fact that it is contrary to the Bible. Go ahead.
Verse 45. Then Mattathias and his friends went round about and pulled down the altar.
They pulled out the altar.
Verse 46.
And we pulled our things in the mind. We don't physically go and take down nobody, anything.
Right.
What you're trying to do is pull down the altar of your mind now. You got to get your mind on right. Go and do nothing damage because you're going to lose and you end up behind the bars.
Mm.
You're supposed to talk with the word of the Almighty and show them the way according to what's written. Don't physically do anything, because you can't beat them physically, no kind of way.
That's
but you can spiritually take them down by understanding you want your mighty one to intervene. He will intervene once you recognize who you really are. When you confess out your mouth, you children of Israel. Go ahead.
Verse 46. And what children soever they found within the coast of Israel, uncircumcised. Those they circumcised valiantly. Verse 47. They pursued also over the proud man, and the work prospered in their hand.
And the work done what?
Prospered in their hand.
Listen good.
48. So they recovered the law.
Oh, and they got their records back. And now we got the records back. Now we knew it was 80 books. And now we got the records to tie this thing in. Now we got the records back. So he can't restore back what he's taken out away from you. You lost your records. And that's what December 25th is all about, is restoring your records back to you. And now you got to practice your records. Go ahead.
Out of the hand of the nation of Esau and his five sons, Amalek.
Yeah, we got the record now. We know what he's saying now, man.
And out of the hand of kings.
Yeah, out of kings.
Neither suffered they the sinner to triumph.
And that's when he came to bring you on the feast of dedication for 8 days. He was bringing back the scrolls about he was the one back there that gave the order, whooped Esau his five sons, and returned the record on the true meaning of December 25th. You lost your land and your kingdom and the temple December 25th. 11 years later, he restored it back to you. You went back into captivity again. So body, and once he came 30 years old, he came to bring you the message about what have been lost from you again. And we telling you now, December 25th ain't got nothing to do with nobody riding around in a chariot in the air with nothing holding them up with reindeers. Ain't got nothing to do with that. December 25th is your liberation day, getting back the land and the temple that was taken away from you to restore it back to you and teach on that until he comes. That's why he came for that feast of dedication that was already was given to you in other lessons. December 25th, that's when you restored it to keep it for 8 days. But the 8 days, he came to teach. And once he taught you, the Father sent him down to get you back and bring you back to the Father. But he can't bring you back by just bringing you back. He got to teach you how to come back. Who you really are, the children of Israel. You're not African-American, you're not Negro, and you're not colored. So we're going to pause and bring our elder back in for the closing statement, and then we'll go in for a couple more and turn over to the young lions. But remember, the fourth day of the feast, he's coming to the temple to teach. And that's what we're trying to tell you. We're going to make sure you understand the message of December 25th for 8 days. It's a teaching first. Then we're going to eat them up and drink them up. So I don't want to hear about where the food is started getting warmed up over and over. It ain't about the physical food. It's about the spiritual food that you need to know to help yourself and your loved ones. If you want Yahweh to intervene in your life, get the spiritual food. The physical food will come after you get the lesson on the table on tape four of dedication. So we'll bring our elder in and get his closing thoughts on tape four of dedication. Hey, yo, get back on the clock for your final statements and tape four. Come on. Elder Tiff, quote, WCC. We got him on mute. Get back to the lesson. All right, so let's go and find out something there, young lion. We're going, Micaiah, we're going to the 19th chapter of Luke. We're going to the 19th chapter of Luke. We want to find out something. Because when he was there, you know, Father was all around and they was doing a whole talking. In the 19th chapter, verse 41 of Luke, tell me what happened. Listen to this, y'all. Listen to this. 1941, down to 44.
Going over to the book. I mean, the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 41 down to verse 44.
Yeah, what it say?
The book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 41 reads, and when he was come near, he beheld the city.
So when he came near, he beheld the city.
And weeped over it.
And he started crying right away. When he came, he started crying outside. Go ahead.
42. Say, if you had known, even you, at least in this, your day, the things which belong to your peace.
If you would only know the things that would be of your peace. Hold that point. Let's put a precept on that, young man. By Titus, go to the 81st chapter. What is of your peace? He said, if you were only known, he's quoting books. See, he been told the seers all about it, and he come to fulfill what he said. In the 81st chapter, what is your peace? He said, if you were only known your peace, even today, if you only know your peace, you don't know your peace. Psalm 81, pick up verse 8. 8 down to verse 8 down. 8 down to verse 16. We might get it all in. 8 to 16. He said, if you only know your peace. Come on, brother. Let's see what we got. Give me some base.
All right. The book of Psalms 81, verse 8 to 16.
Right.
Psalms chapter 81, verse 8.
Right.
Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto you. O Israel.
Who was the people?
O Israel.
Right.
If you would listen unto me,
uh-huh.
Verse 9. There shall no strange false Yahweh be in you.
Uh-huh.
Neither shall you worship any strange false Yahweh. I am Yahweh, your Yahweh, which brought ye out of the land of bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Open your mouth wide,
uh-huh,
and I will fill it.
Open your mouth wide, I'll fill it.
Yes. But my people would not listen to my voice, and Israel would none of me.
Said, but my people, Israel, they still don't listen. They still don't want to hear nothing. Go ahead.
Verse 12. So I gave them up.
Oh. So Yahweh gave you up. So that's why he kind of restored back to you what he's taking out away from you. Since you don't want to listen, you're not got anything. Matter of fact, what's the precept of that? Brother Micaiah 7:8:41 or some. But you see, when you don't want to listen, children of Israel, when you got a problem, you don't want to listen. You know what he got from you? He said, I gave you up. Even to this day, you've been gave up. The precept then is 7:8:40-41. What it says in Psalms 7:8:40-41, Brother Micaiah, come on.
Book of Psalms 78:40-41. Verse 40 reads, how often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? 41, yes, they turned back and tempted Yahweh and limited the righteous one of Israel.
It's like you got a bad grandbaby over. You say, I was going to catch the ice cream truck outside and give you ice cream, but you won't do. You didn't do nothing I told you to do. So I can reward you, and you don't do right. So you limit the hands of your mind one by not following the order. And of you say, then you're doing today. You're on a limited hand. He can't help you. Not because you Israel. He clearly know what you Israel. But you're on a limited hand because you don't keep no feast days. You don't keep no Sabbath days. You don't want no friends. You don't just say as Yahweh. You doing everything contrary to the book. And how can he bless you? You limited hands. And that's what he come to restore back to you. How you on limited hand from stepping up after you. So he's sending this ministry right now to tell you, take a look at this book again. Let's see why as a nation we in trouble we in the day. Not individuals like Wendy or Williams. She's an individual that got her money, $20 million all tied up. So that's something to keep changing. You mess around, you better put some of that money in a dresser somewhere because look here. They got wisdom. We're going to teach on that before this 8 days and show you they can bring you into suggestions by all of a sudden everything that you own, they can put a stop on it just like that. Then what you going to do then? Oh, you put my credit card in, my bank card in, everything. I got $20 million. Look at what I'm saying. I got $20 million. I can't even pay myself. See? You know why?
Freeze.
Because they put a freeze on you. So they just don't always put everything in the bank. You know, have your little suitcase laying around somewhere where you put a little piece of change in it somewhere. Because they'll do these things to you to have you, and we're going to read about the mark, and that mark will tell you, so you got a whole lot to teach over these next 3-4 days. He's going to tell you all these things to come. And that's why we tell you, you're on that way to 7:30 tomorrow. And you can hear the kitchen birds, they're going to eat them up and drink them up. So you got to understand something. Just like Wendy Williams said, I got $20 million in the bank and I can't get a dime. She said, I earned my money. That's my money. Yeah, they don't care about that. When you cross them up, they can freeze everything you got. And we read earlier about the young man said, they can kick you off of. All the networks, they can take you off of everything just like that.
That's right.
But what they can't take from you is this word. That's why you got to know this word. They can take anything. They can take everything from you, but what they cannot take from you is this word. Don't let them take this word. Don't lose your crown. Make sure you word up in Yahweh, not word up in the system. Because they can pull your money and lock up so bad for you. That you want more talent, they look at you like you're crazy. They sent that down Kanye, didn't it? Then they told him, the more than tell him, hey, get your money up out of here. We're going to freeze your money up. Billionaire to a millionaire. because they didn't want to give it to you. But what we're trying to restore back to you, what you was not taken, what he took not away from you, is the word of his understanding. It can't nobody take away from you if you pay attention. Remember, 7:30 tomorrow night, be on the airwaves and hear more. Keep reading that, young man.
Okay.
Now back to my child, where you left off on? Psalm
81. I'm at verse 12. Let's go at verse 12. Okay. Verse 12. Psalm chapter 81, verse 12. So I gave them up in their own mind, lust, and they walked in their own counsel.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 13.
Listen.
Oh, that my people have listened. Oh, that my people have listened unto me in Israel. Had walked in my ways.
Now look at it. So if you listen and walk into this way, if you listen to him, follow what he got written and walk in his ways, go ahead.
Verse 14. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned their hand against their adversaries.
He said, I don't whoop them. I've been whooping them then. But if I whoop them now, you beat them clowns. He said, I could have been whooped them, the other nation.
Yeah,
they're not a white man and a white woman. I could have been whooped him, but I can't whoop him now because you probably beat them proud. You heard that woman say it. She said, I'm a nigger and my kids a nigger too. See? That's her mindset she got. I can't whoop him now because I whooped him now and you beat them crying. Go ahead.
All right. Verse 15. The haters of Yahuwah should have submitted themselves unto him.
You see that?
But their time shall have endured forever.
You see?
Verse 16. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat.
Finest of the wheat.
And with honey.
Honey.
Out of the rock. Should I have satisfied
you. You wouldn't be eating no hog. Or you worry about praying on no hog that you can't pray over no way. You wouldn't be eating no hog. He had to come tell you about that. You had only listened to what he told you. But you're not preparing no never mind. Like we gave you the rules and regulations. Let's go to Malachi. Let's go to Malachi, Titus.
Yes, sir.
Malachi 4:4 now. Listen, I'm going to pick it up a little bit. Malachi 4:4. So this is the message he came to bring the children of Israel. Malachi 4:4. Give you straight order of what he's talking about. What he say?
The book of Malachi, the seer, chapter 4, verse 4 reads. Get that, Sister Judith.
Keep going.
Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant,
which
I command unto him in Horeb.
Yes, remember the law.
For all Israel,
uh-huh,
with the statutes and judgment.
All Israel will be doing the law. Go ahead.
Verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the seer.
He said, I will send you Elijah the seer.
Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahuwah.
And before I come and destroy this place, I will send you a comforter. At the time, he said Elijah was dead. So I'm going to send you a comforter, and a comforter is a teacher. And they're going to remind you to get yourself in order before I come and do some damage. Go ahead.
All right. Verse 6. And he shall turn the mind of the fathers to the children.
And when the comforter comes, it will be a he. And he's going to be telling you about family time again. Get your family right. Get yourself right. Get in order. This is the speech that this comforter, which is a teacher, going to have. He's going to say, get your family back in order. Rule by the Bible. Be Bible-led. Be a Yahwali man. Be a Yahwali woman. That's the conversation you'll be having by this comforter to come. Go ahead.
And the mind of the children to their father.
And he's going to tell the mind of the children to come back to your father. Stop talking about your father. He's a rolling stone and all that. You know, all that good stuff. You're going to treat your father with more respect when he come as a Yahwali father. That's what the job of this comforter was to come that prophesied. He's going to tell you about get right with Yahweh. Treat that wife of yours right. Better half of yours right, scripture-wise. Treat them kids right, scripture-wise. That's the conversation they're going to have. Go ahead.
Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
So the curse is going to be on you until the comforter, which the teacher, comes and directs you back to the book. And that's what he was doing on day four, is directing families to get back in order, but according to the book that was taken away from you. Now I'm going to restore back to you what I took not away from you. Is that what he's saying? Now, how are you going to do that? Now, let's go, Brother Titus, let's run to St. John chapter 14, verse 12 and 13. Let's see how he's going to do that. Backed up with Brother Micaiah in the book of 13, 26, and 27. Let's find out exactly about this comforter that's going to come, and you got to watch the comforter that it was a teacher from the pages of the book. Don't watch him from that one-eyed thing called TV and radio. Watch it from the pages of the book. This is a characteristic of it. Watch what he say about this comforter in St. John 14, 12 and 13, what he say.
The book of John, chapter 14, verse 12 and 13. John chapter 14, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Verse 13. And whatsoever we shall ask in my name, you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that will I do, that the Father may be honored in the Son.
So what did he say he's going to do in verse 12? What did he say he was going to do? Go on to verse 12. Read it again.
John chapter 14, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also.
So what does he mean here? He said, I'm going back and sit on the right hand of my Father.
Mm-hmm.
But what is he saying here in verse 12?
He's got these works.
So what is he saying he's going to do? No, he's saying, I'm going to send you, and he's going to do what kind of work? We just got to read in America. He's going to turn the children back to the Father.
The
Father back to the family. That's how he's going to be running their mouth. They're going to be trying to get you back to organize yourself as the order of the Bible. If somebody going to come, he said, I'm not going to do it. It will be somebody that's going to send. He's going to be a comforter. He's going to be a teacher. And he's going to show you the way how to get back in order. That's what he's saying
right.
In verse 12.
Right.
Because he said, I'm going back to the Father. But I'm going to have somebody down there in your time. And a comforter is a teacher that will follow my rules, and he's going to do so. And what he's going to be trying to tell you, get back in order and understand the true meaning of December 25th. So somebody will be down in your time to point the finger on December 25th. Ain't got nothing to do with no Christmas and Santa Claus. It got something to do with you understanding that December 25th is your liberation day on a small level of getting back up onto him. He intervened when you came back to him. That's the true meaning of December 25th. He said, a comforter, which be, and he's going to do better works, more works than I did. So this job going to be bigger than what he did. That's what he just said in verse 12. Is that what he said?
Yes.
Well, read it again. Let's see if he said that. Read it again.
John chapter 14, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Because I go to my Father.
He said he's going to do greater works than what he did. Because he's going to be dealing with people that ain't got no knowledge of themselves. See, they didn't know there was Israel when he came. He said it's the one that's going to be, he's going to be dealing with people that going to call themselves Negroes, African American, and Negro in color. And they wore fringes back there in his day. They ain't going to wear no fringes. They're going to be wearing everything contrary to fringes. They'll be out on everywhere when he take a look at them and show up. So if you're not getting suspicious, that's up to you. Now let's go to the 13th chapter, verse 26 and 27. All right. So, right.
Go up to the book of Acts. We're going to chapter 13. We're going to read verse 26 and verse 27.
Mm-hmm.
book of Acts.
And so the Judas had me, Ezekiel chapter 14, 18, and 20. Wait on me. You can't be turning while you're reading.
To the book of Acts, chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 26 and 27.
What
is that? 26, read.
What?
Man and brother, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fear Yahuwah, to you is the word of this salvation sent.
He said, the stock of Israel that came out of the bloodline of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, this word was sent to you first. And whosoever among you, Abraham, Isaac, Israel, descended bloodline, this word was sent to you first. Abraham, Isaac, Israel, this word was sent to you first. Go ahead.
27. For they that dwell at Yah-Jah Judah and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the seers, which I read every Sabbath day.
He said, you can hear the voice of the seer every Sabbath day. Every Sabbath day you hear the voice of the seer. Every Sabbath day. You will hear the voice of the seer every Sabbath day. But what voice are you really hearing in 1 verse 70, Brother Micaiah of Luke? What voice are you really hearing coming from the seer every Sabbath day? Luke 1:70, bring it.
Book of Luke, on chapter 1, we're picking up at verse number 7. Book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 73. As he spake by the mouth of his righteous seer, which had been since the world began.
So Yahweh speaks. Have spoken by the mouth of his righteous seer since the world began. You ain't going to hear him no more, but you'll hear his messenger, the seer, speaking from his word. And it's just like you hearing him when you hear the seer speak from his word. That's the closest you're going to hear him speaking through his seer. Read again in 1 verse 7.
The book of Luke chapter 1 verse number 7. Verse 70 read. As he spake by the mouth of his righteous seer, which has been since the world began.
So that's how he spoke since the world began, through the by the mouth of his seer. Now precept that on 3:18 and 20 of the book of Acts. Precept that. Acts 3:18 and 20. Get your precept. See, once you get your precept, understand how you work today. Why you trying to jump past the seer to get to him? He said, it don't work like that. How I spoke by my seer. Because they're going to look in the book, and they're going to be plainly, that's what the seer said in 9:27, Brother Titus, and 1 Samuel. 9:27, listen good.
You're going to 1 Samuel to see it, chapter 9, verse 27.
Listen good.
All right, we're going to 1 Samuel, the seer, chapter 9, verse 27. And as they were going down to the end of the city,
yeah.
Samuel said to Saul,
what did Samuel, the seer, say to Saul?
Bid the servant pass on before.
Tell your homeboys to pass on.
Before. And he passed on.
Yeah.
But stand you still.
But I want you to stand still, Saul, to be king.
A while, that I may show you the word of Yahuwah.
What is the seer's responsibility to do?
Show you the word of Yahuwah.
And that's what he tried to he restored back to you, what he did not take away from you. Nobody in the Bible celebrates on December 25th or nobody bringing presents and Christmas trees. It ain't what December 25th, restoring back to you the true meaning of December 25th. It is for you to, the regain of you from him because you were deserving. You lost all that. He come to restore it back to you and say, you're going to lose it again.
The
Now you're lost, but now you're confused now. Your Lord wants confused. You think December 25th means card giving, Christmas hog eating, sliding around bringing a present or receiving a present. That ain't got nothing to do with the Bible, December 25th. The Bible, December 25th, is the liberation day from Esau and his five sons called the white man and white woman and all his minions that was with him. Moab and Onan called it Japanese and the Chinese. That's what the true meaning of December 25th. So when he came down on the feast of dedication, he was reminding them that, listen, you up on the wrong rule because you forsook the truth. Now I'm coming to show you what to do. Then we will eat them up and drag them up. December 25th ain't got nothing to do with no reindeer. Ain't got nothing to do with no pope that's coming on Sunday for a Christmas. It's to tell you, if you get back in order, I'm going to intervene. As long as you don't know what you're supposed to be doing on these 8 days, is keeping these days and getting in where you've been in at, you lose. Just don't lose your salvation. So here go the case in point. Come on, Sister Judy, now give me my Ezekiel 14:14, 18, and 20.
Come on, bring it to me. Ezekiel chapter 14:14, 18, and 20. Verse 14 reads, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Yahweh.
You can't deliver your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister. I don't care what you did. All one you can help is yourself. You let your life shine. You can't help them. The only thing you can save is yourself. You got to make sure yourself right and hope if they see your life on the right track, then they'll come on and stop kicking against you. Verse 18
reads, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Yahweh, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves.
All one you can deliver is yourself. You can't deliver your mama. You can't deliver your grandbaby. All one you can deliver is yourself by your righteousness. And your righteousness is how you keep the law. Verse 20
reads, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Yahweh, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own soul by their righteousness.
You only can deliver your own soul by you keeping the law. You can't deliver them whether they're coming up, whether they understand they're Israel or not. All one you can deliver is yourself. So stop trying to pull all of the hair out your head, trying to wonder why my brothers don't understand this thing. You can't deliver in no way. Just let your light shine and keep it moving. All one you can deliver is yourself. You can't deliver mama. Can't deliver your sister nor your brother. The only one you can deliver is yourself. By your righteousness. By you keeping the law. You just keep the law. If Yahweh wants them to come in, because Yahweh got to do something big time that we can read. He must do something big time. And what did he got to do that we can read? Brother Titus, St. John 6:44-45. Now watch what Yahweh got to do that you can read. This is very careful what he got to do that we can read. 6th chapter of St. John 44:45, let's say.
We're going to beloved John, chapter 6, verse 44-45.
And Brother Makai helped me 2 Maccabees, chapter 1, and we're going to read the 1 down to verse 12.
Beloved John, chapter 6, verse 44-45.
Right.
No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day.
See, you can't come to the Father. You can't come to the Son at the Father. Draw to the Father 1850 drawing. That's why your brother all out of order. Because the Father ain't said he all right. He on the right track. See, the Father got to put it in the Son to receive. So So you can't come to none, man, one of them, unless the father gives it okay. So the father ain't made okay for your brother to come out by that Sunday, Chris mass up, and talk about the man coming out of the road to help somebody. Your help is in the word of the Almighty. But if he's kicking against you, or your sister kicking against you, and said, we always have kept Chris mass, the Almighty is the light. He's not up under no mask. So you got to lead by example. And you know what it says in 45 verse 10. What it says, Brother Micaiah? Psalm 45 verse 10. You know what he told the minister to tell David in 45 verse 10. You got a clue what he told David to write and leave it in. Oh, I'm going to pick it up and force it over to his right. 45 verse 10, what he got written?
Look at Psalm chapter 45, pick it up at verse number 10. Psalms 45, verse 10 reads, hearken, O dog, and consider and incline your ear. Forget also your own people in your father's house.
You see, you might have to walk away from your blood, brother, mama, sister, and brother. They come down to you compromising the law. You might have to forget your mama, your brother, your cousin, your baby. You have to walk away from them, because what he got coming for you, your eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard. And that's 1 Corinthians 2:9, 2:9 and 10, backed up with Isaiah 64, verse 4. We ain't read. We read it last night, lesson. You might have to walk away from that brother of yours. I don't care how many degrees he has. Because everything he's doing is contrary to the Bible. Keeping Sunday, being a Christian, contrary to the Bible or the children of the book. It's the bloodline Israelites. That's a curse upon the Israel. Now, where are we at?
We're at 2 Maccabees.
Chapter 1, 1 through 12.
2 Maccabees, chapter 1, verses 1 down to verse 12.
1 down to verse 12 and 13 down to 21 by Brother Titus.
All right.
I ain't finished.
What you think was?
I read verse 45 of John chapter 6.
Okay, well, come on then.
John chapter 6, verse 45. It is written in the seal.
What?
And they should be all taught of Yahuwah.
So you got to be taught of Yahuwah's servant. You got to be taught. This don't get you. You can't get a jerk and a kick and a run, and you got to say. You got to be taught. And that's what he came to do, was teach.
Yahuwah.
When he came on the feast day, he came to teach. You see, I see all the turkey dressing and all the corn and all. I see all that. But right now, I want this spiritual book. I got to teach y'all something first. Then we're going to eat them up and drink them up. They call them a wine devil. Because after he got through teaching, he took some wine. He ate up everything and get his hand on. Why? But he done his job. And that's what we come to do every night at 7:30. Teach you what this man's saying. You don't get nothing else out of it. The true meaning of December 25th is the liberation of your people called children of Israel from the hand of Esau, his five sons, and all the nations that gathered in with him. He gave you a great ordo on December 25th. On the Feast of Dedication, he's coming down to remind them of the overthrow that he's going to do a bigger one that's coming up now to the Romans and what's now. You're the Roman Empire today because it's the fourth kingdom. It ain't going past the fourth.
That's right. Truly,
it's going to be you. This is an extension of Rome that you're in right now. But that's another lesson tomorrow. Tune in at 7:30 and hear tomorrow. Come on.
All right. I'm going to still have a verse 45.
What?
Every man, therefore, that had heard and that had learned of the Father coming unto me.
So you got to learn this stuff and teach this stuff. So do you come into the room with your pad, your pencil, or you just come just grab back and get you some long sleep? I remember one member of the class said the same thing. You know, when you get to hollering that girl talking there, I can get my best sleep. I said, well, you lose by getting your best sleep when I get to hollering on the microphone. I get my best sleep. Huh? Well, let me know. That ain't right. Now, we in second Ezra
2 Maccabees, chapter 1.
No, Ezra.
2
Ezra, chapter 7, verse 1. And these books were removed from you by the Catholic Church. The one, the Catholic Church taking these books away from you in 1885. See, you need this information. How are we going to always have you on us if you read this? 2 Ezra 7, 1 through 12, bring it.
Okay. Going to 2 Ezra, chapter 7, verses 1 down to verse 12.
Yeah, just feel the reading for this.
All right, 2 Ezra, chapter 7, verse 1, read. And when I had made an end of speaking these words, there was sent unto me the angel which had been sent unto me the night before. 2. And he said unto me, Up, Ezra, the seer, and hear the words that I am come to tell you. 3. And I said, Speak on, my Yahweh. Then said he unto me, The sea is set in a wide place, that it might be deep and great. 4. But put the case, the entrance were narrow, and like a river. 5. Who then could go into the sea to look upon it, and to rule it? If he went not through the narrow, how could he come into the brook?
He said, oh, why are you telling you right now to see the people? The river is his word. If you don't get no setbacks, how are you going to get to where you got to get to? This going to be a lot of sweat, tears, and a lot of crying to get what you got to get to. But he's going to wipe away all your tears according to the book of Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4. So, you're going to go through trials and tribulations. Your closest loved one going to be your worst and your greatest defeat. When you tell them, I ain't hearing that Lord God Jesus no more. I don't hear about the Yahweh. That's going to be your greatest defeat. The closest one to you. Might be your mama. It might be your brother. Closest one to you going to give you all the fight you need on ignoring that Bible and that talk. Read.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 7, verse 6. There is also another thing. A city is built and set upon a broad field and is full of all good things. Verse 7. The entrance thereof is narrow and is set in a dangerous place to fall, like as if there were a fire on the right hand and on the left a deep water. Verse 8. In one only path between them both, even between the fire and the water.
He said only one can come at a time, so you can't have your mama and your brother on one side of you. No, no, it don't work like that. You got to lead by example yourself, and if they see this thing, they'll follow behind you and keep moving forward. It ain't going to be what we, just my family, we all here, come by y'all. No, it don't work like that. You will have to lead the way by yourself to get to where you got to get to. Go ahead.
So small that there could but one man go there at once.
Go ahead.
Verse 9. If this city now were given unto a man for an inheritance, if he never shall pass the danger set before, how shall he receive this inheritance?
So if you don't have no sweat and tears and crying and all that, he said, you ain't got nothing coming. Ain't no, this ain't no Teflon thing. You have to lose. And you're going to lose the closest one to you. Unless they come on the side of us and dust bad y'all are. Your closest one to you is going to be your greatest defeat, your loved one. Keep that in your mind when you bring this true word to them. Go ahead.
Verse 10. And I said, it is so, Yahweh. Then said he unto me, even so also is Israel's portion. 11. Because for their sake I made the world.
So when you tell that, when you tell him that, when you tell your loved one that he made the world for Israel, girl, you get that racist talk from around me. You see that? You read by. He made the world for the children of Israel. Did we read that?
Hell yeah, well.
See, now we didn't hear that. Now he made it for everybody. Now the Bible says he made the world. Who read that verse again?
Verse 11, 2 Ezra chapter 7, verse 11. Because for their sake I made the world.
You see that?
And when Adam transgressed my statutes, then it was decreed that now it's done.
That's right.
Verse 12. Then was the entrance of this world made narrow.
Mm.
Full of sorrow.
Full of sorrow.
And travail. They are but few in evil. Full of perils and very pain.
He said, it's very painful. Well, you think or not, you can find your $10 and your turtle wax. But you ain't got nothing coming. Understand one thing. It's great things to come, but you got to come back to this word. Come on, about Titus 13:21.
All right, 2nd Ezra chapter 7, verse 13 to 21. 2nd Ezra chapter 7, verse 13. For the entrance of the elder would were wide and sure and brought immortal fruit. Verse 14. If then they that live labor not to enter these straight and vain things, they can never receive those that are laid up for them. Verse 15. Now therefore, why disquiet yourself, seeing that you are but a corruptible man? Where are you moved, whereas you are but mortal? Verse 16. Why has you not considered in your mind this thing that is to come, rather than which is present? Verse 17. Then answer I and said, O Yahweh that bears rule, you have ordained in your law the first five books of Torah instructions, that the righteous should inherit these things.
You say, you're not dating in your law. You got the right to go ahead and teach it. He's about the law, and your preacher tell you the law is done away with. You know, ordained in the law, the righteous go ahead and have his kingdom. But all the way you be righteous, you got to keep the law. Your preacher say you ain't got to keep the law no more. He's done away with it.
But that the un-Yahwali should perish. Verse 18.
He said, the un-Yahwali is going to perish. This is written in my law. I'm going to kill the wall that ain't keeping what my law.
Verse 18. Nevertheless, the righteous should suffer straight things.
He said, but the righteous go, they're gonna suffer straight things. You gonna pay a price for being righteous. And it's gonna happen with the closer one to you. That way you will have your pain that through the night. But the word will comfort you if you understand the scripture. Right?
Yes. And hope. For why? For they that have done wickedly have suffered the straight thing, and yet should not see the wise.
He said, the one that is wicked, he said, I'm going to get them. And they ain't going to see what you trying to get to the kingdom. They going to see the fire. They got a price to pay for being wicked, really.
19. And he said unto me, there's no judge above Yahweh.
That's right.
And none that had understanding above the highest, Yahweh. Verse 20. And there be many that perish in this life.
It's going to be many that perish in this life. Go ahead.
Because they despise the law.
Oh, you mean the law will have you to perish? Yes. If you don't keep the law, the man going to burn you in the fire. If you don't keep the law, the man going to burn you in the fire. You're going to perish but not keeping the law, really.
Mm-hmm. Of Yahweh that is set before them.
That's right.
21. For Yahweh gave us straight commandments.
Straight commandments.
To such as came.
Yes.
What they should do to live, even as they came, and what they should observe to avoid punishment.
They don't give you straight orders. What to do to live to avoid punishment. Come on, so Judah, give me the next two verses and the closing statement. Young Lion, hey, I mean 2nd Chronicles 36, verse 12, 14. 15 down to verse 16. We'll turn over y'all. Y'all can take it from there. Remember one thing, back on airways again at 7:30 tomorrow. Well, look what it says. That we read. What would you read?